بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, from the beginning of the month of Ramadan we have been hearing لعلكم تتقون لعلكم تتقون. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells us the reason and the purpose behind fasting in the month of Ramadan. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O people of Iman, O people of Islam, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ. Fasting during the month of Ramadan has been ordained upon you, has been made fard upon you, obligatory upon you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His mercy, compassion upon us, says, if you find it difficult, you find it challenging, that the entire day you have to abstain from food, from drink, then understand that you are not alone in this. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Allah says, just as the nations of the past also had to fast. We find the nations of the past, different Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wasalam, their nations also had roza and fasting. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the purpose, the goal, the objective behind fasting in the month of Ramadan. That لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The objective is for a person to develop within himself the quality of taqwa. That he becomes conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here ulama say a person can be fasting. The entire month of Ramadan he kept roza, alhamdulillah. 30 days he kept. And then after Eid, he kept the 6 fasts of Shawwal also. And then he fasts on Monday and Thursday. And then he keeps the sunnat fast also, 13th, 14th, 15th of every lunar month. So he's fasting all these days in the calendar. But he hasn't developed the quality of taqwa, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he has lost the objective of fasting. So here when it comes to this aspect of taqwa, we find many a times there's a misconception. Especially we find our youngsters. When a person hears the word taqwa, then I must become muttaqi, I must develop the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we think that this is reserved for the very old people, the very pious people who are always in the masjid. So the youngster thinks that if I become muttaqi, if I get taqwa, I have to walk with a hunched back. My eyes have to be focused on the ground. I can't have a smile on my face any longer. And I have to be first in the masjid, last to leave. And I have to have this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I must be afraid that maut can come at any time. What's going to happen to me? What will my condition be in the akhirat, in the qabr? So here ulama explained that if the only ingredient that a person has is fear, he just has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will not stop him from breaking the command of Allah. We know in dunya also a person has fear. He's afraid of something. But it doesn't stop him from breaking the law. The person knows the authorities are there. The police officer is waiting. There may be a speed trap somewhere along the way. And he knows that my license is expired. Or my license disc is not up to date. So he's afraid, if I get caught, what will happen to me? That perhaps I'll be locked up. I've got my wife with me, my children with me. So he has that fear within himself. But it won't stop him from breaking the speed limit. He'll still do it, even though he's afraid. Ulama say the youngster is alone in his room at night. And he knows my parents are sleeping in the room next door. Anytime they can wake up. And they'll just come into my room. And then how embarrassed I'll be. They'll catch me doing this action. I'll be disgraced, humiliated. So he also is afraid that if they catch me, what's going to happen to me? They'll ground me. They'll take away my phone, my computer. All my perks and privileges will be taken away. He also has that fear. He's afraid. But it won't stop him from going on the internet, on that website. So he only has fear within his heart. So ulama explained, taqwa is not only to do with the fear of Allah, but rather that a person becomes conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very beautifully explained in Arabic, that taqwa is what? Imtithalu ma amarallahu bihi. That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding me right now, whatever a person may be doing in his life, whatever phase of life he's going through, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding me to do right now, that I must do it. وَاجْتِنَابُ مَا نَهَا عَنْهُ. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking me to abstain from, to refrain from, then I must stay away from that. That is taqwa. So a person is in his shop also. It's peak time. Customers are coming in and out. The till is ringing. And he can see the prophets turning over. But his mind is focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is Allah's command, directive to me right now? That I must do business in the correct way. I mustn't deceive anybody. I mustn't sell goods that are defective. When the customers are coming into the shop, I must protect my gaze. And then when it's salah time, I must close up and go for salah. So he's focused on the directive of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is taqwa. Even though he's in his shop, he's doing business. But he has got taqwa. The father is playing with his children in the afternoon. They're running around in the backyard. He's running behind them. Children are having a good time. Father is laughing and smiling. He's not making tilawat of Quran. He's not making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he's thinking to himself, I have to be kind to my children. I have to show them love and muhabbat. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to me right now. He's got taqwa. So how does a person develop this quality of taqwa? Where Allah has given us the month of Ramadan. And here ulama explain, how will a person get taqwa in the month of Ramadan? What is Allah trying to show us? That insan will abstain from morning till evening, from his food and his drink. He won't fulfill his desires. What is regarded to be a basic human need, a human right. We see different countries of the world. There's drought, there's poverty. And people are starving. They're dying of starvation. There's hunger. How the different organizations will come together. Funds are collected. Teams are dispatched. Why? Because those people are suffering. They don't have food and drink. It's a basic human right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, insan will give up his basic human right. That which he can't live without. He'll abstain from food, abstain from drink. For the entire day, so that he himself realizes, if I can give up what is the most basic right, that which I need in my life, I can give up the sin, disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I can do this, I can do that. I can remain conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can develop the taqwa within me. So here ulama explain also that one of the major impediments, one of the major blockages that will prevent a person from developing this taqwa, and this is found in the month of Ramadan also, is that shaitan will cause a person to enter a state of ghaflat. What we'll say, a state of unmindfulness, negligence, heedlessness. Where a person is not mindful of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Allah complains about this. Allah says, وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا لَغَافِلُونَ. Then how many people are there? How many people are there who are ghafil, who are unmindful, who are heedless with regard to our commands, our remembrance, our signs? Things are happening around them, but they're not taking heed. They don't think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah commands Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that if you want to know who to keep company with, Allah is saying to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that wasbir nafsak ma'al ladina yad'una rabbahum bil ghadati wal ashi. That keep yourself in the company of those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Morning and evening they remember Allah. They might not physically be involved in ibadat. They're not standing in salah the whole night. They're not making zikr the entire day. But they remember the command of Allah. They're constantly thinking, what does Allah want from me right now? Spend your time with them. And then Allah cautions him, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. That, O Nabi of Allah, do not obey, do not listen to, do not follow, do not associate with those whose hearts we have made ghafil. Those who are unmindful, they are heedless, they are not thinking of us. Why? Because they'll take you in the wrong direction. They'll make the wrong decisions. They'll make you ghafil also. Just for us to understand how destructive, how dangerous, how harmful this ghaflat can be. Ulama have given the example in our daily lives. The family has gone for holiday and they're returning. And an enjoyable holiday it was. A very scenic place that they went to visit. And all the sightseeing they went for. And they enjoyed the different delicacies in that place. The wife is happy. Husband is happy. They spend quality time together. They spend time with their children. Children also are happy. Everyone is refreshed, rejuvenated. And they're on their way back home. The mood in the car also is light. Everybody is smiling, joking, laughing. And as they are driving along on the highway, the young daughter from the back seat calls the father. That, see what I drew for you. I drew a picture for you. So that father, just for a few moments, he takes his eyes off the road. And he turns to the back to see what his daughter is saying, or what she's showing to him. Just for a few seconds, he turns his gaze away from the road. And he doesn't realize the car in front has pressed brakes. And before we know it, that accident has taken place. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What was a mood that was There was enjoyment, there was happiness, there was laughter. What a wonderful, enjoyable holiday we just had. Now somebody's hand is broken, somebody's leg is broken, somebody else has whiplash, they've got to go to the hospital. The car is damaged. And we know how much of parashani, how much of worry a person will be in. Sometimes just a small accident takes place. How much of worry that now I've got to send the car to the panel beater. And whether he'll do a good job or not. And he mustn't rip me off. He must charge me the correct amount. He must spray the car correctly. Then where a person's mind goes to, when I sell this car, what's going to happen? How much the value will depreciate? And now I don't have transport for the week ahead. How am I going to get to work? How are we going to drop the children off? It's so much of worry and parayashani, difficulty a person is put into just a few seconds of ghaflat. Just a few seconds of being unmindful, heedless. And so much of difficulty. The other example, Abdul Hamid Sahib has mentioned, Dam Barakatuhu, that the family is at home on a Sunday afternoon, and the parents phone and say, we're coming to visit. Nana and Nani are coming to visit, coming to see the grandchildren. So the mother, how happy she gets, my parents are coming home. I haven't seen them for the whole week. The grandchildren are happy. They're expecting the grandparents, they'll bring some sweets for us. We'll spend time together. So the mother puts the pot of oil onto the stove, that we'll fry some savories, my parents are coming. And as that oil begins to heat up, the doorbell rings. So she rushes to go and see who's there, perhaps they have come, I need to open for them. And for this few moments, she's unmindful of what is happening. And the handle of the frying pan is sticking out. And the young child, 3-4 years old, comes now into the kitchen. The mother's back is turned, she's gone to see who's at the door. And in that few seconds, that small child pulls the handle. And that boiling pot of oil falls on the child. And all over his head and face and hands and body, now he has to be rushed to the hospital. What was an afternoon of happiness, of joy, family was coming, we were going to spend time together. Now it's a hospital case. Mother is crying, father is crying. We don't know what the child has suffered, 3rd-degree burns. How much of destruction? Just a few seconds of ghaflat, where a person is unmindful. So like this, ulama explain, if this is the harm, the destruction that comes to our dunya, we can imagine when a person has ghaflat with regard to his deen. When I'm not mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what destruction will come to my iman and my taqwa? And for myself, how many years have passed? We mentioned before also, we're just continuing our life. My Shaykh Dawam Barakatuhu, Mufti Yusuf Desai Sahib says that we are passing through life. We're just passing each day. Passing through, but in reality we're not passing. We're failing life. We haven't understood our objective, which directions are we moving to. That we're going to have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does Allah want from me? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the month of Ramadan. For us to get this taqwa, this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Allah speaks about them in Quran. And for us to understand, Sahaba ikiram also were human beings like you and I. They also had desires, they also had requirements, they also had needs and wants. They also had families, responsibilities. They also had to earn a living. But what was the mindset? When Quran speaks about Sahaba rijal, that these were such men, لا تلهيهم تجارته ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. That no matter what they were doing, they were engaged in their business, buying and selling. They were making money also. But it never caused them to become negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They remained in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why when the call came that now you have to go in the path of Allah, or Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wants something from you, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has issued some command, some prohibition, then on the spot they were ready. Because their mind was and their heart was connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تلهيهم تجارته ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة. They could be in their shop also, azan is called, they understood I have to go for salah. وإيتاء الزكاة. No matter how tight things may be right now, I'm struggling to make ends meet, but zakat is fard on me, I have to pay my zakat. يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار. They had their gaze on qiyamah. That my life in this world is short, I am going somewhere. I am on a journey, where's my final destination? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this fasting in the month of Ramadan to develop this quality of taqwa. that we become mindful of Him. We are conscious of His command. A person may still break the command of Allah. He may still slip, he may make a mistake. But he is mindful. He knows what Allah wants. Immediately he makes tawbah. Ulama explained, even the pious people, the buzrugan-e-deen, the awliya of Allah, it's not that they don't have desires. Yes, they may also get involved in some minor sins. But immediately they make tawbah. They turn back to Allah. I slipped up. And Allah raises their status like this. If we find to this extent, how much does Allah want us to be conscious of Him? Ulama have explained the dua we read, we learnt in maktab. When we leave, after we have relieved ourselves and we exit the bathroom, غفرانك الحمد لله الذي أذهب عني الأذى وعافاني. And a person is saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, غفرانك. Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness. الحمد لله الذي أذهب عني الأذى. All praise is due to Allah who has removed the waste from my system. وعافاني, Allah has kept me safe. Allah didn't allow that poison to harm me. So ulama asked the question, that a person has relieved himself. This is a necessity of life. Nobody can escape it. So what's the need to ask Allah's forgiveness, ghufranak? Why must we ask Allah to forgive us? What did we do wrong? So the answer muhaddithin have mentioned, is that when a person is in the bathroom, he's relieving himself. For that amount of time, he was not in the dhikr of Allah. He could not think of Allah actively. So I'm asking Allah's forgiveness, that this was the maqsad of my life. You gave me my life to remember you, to think of you. For these few moments, I was ghafil of you. I could not think of you. I'm asking your forgiveness for this. To that extent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be conscious of Him. So ulama have explained, just for us to understand and be on guard, that shaitan will use different tools and different methods to make a person ghafil, to make a person heedless, unmindful of Allah. One tool shaitan will use is that he will cause a person to become munhamik, al-inhimak fi dunya. A person will become immersed in his dunya. He'll become soaked in it. To this extent that he forgets everything around him. Mawlana Sahib Dam Barakatuhum gives the example all the time. That a person is driving along. He's with his family, they're returning home. And as he is driving, he receives a phone call. Perhaps it's the shop manager, something has happened. There's been a break-in at the shop. And the stock has gone. And this is the condition. That person's mind is so immersed in that phone call, that without even realizing, he slows down. The car behind him is hooting at him. The other cars are flashing at him. That you're driving at 20. But he doesn't realize. He's oblivious to it. He can't even hear the hooter. Why? He's immersed in that phone call. What's happening? I need to sort out the shop. How much of stock has been lost? Tomorrow there's a delivery going out. I need to replace it. And then his wife will tell him, where are you going? We passed our house already. But he doesn't realize. He's oblivious. His mind is gone. So shaitan will make a person immersed in his dunya. He'll be so engrossed in it, he won't realize what's happening around him. On the other hand, that person who will make an effort, ulama say, he'll make an effort to develop taqwa, to become conscious of Allah, his intention will be right. Then even though he is immersed in his dunya, he's busy in his shop like the first person. He's also busy on the phone, making calls, receiving calls. He's in meeting after meeting. He's ordering stock, he's dispatching. He's telling the staff what to do. Physically he's busy. But that will all become ibadat for him. His mind is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama gave the story of one pious person. Just for us to understand. That physically a person can still be occupied with his duties and responsibilities. But his mind and heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one pious person, he went to Makkah Mukarramah. And he enters the haram of Makkah Mukarramah. And as he's standing on the mataf, he sees in front of him that there's a young man holding onto the ghilaf of the Kaaba. And he's crying profusely, tears streaming down his cheeks. And his lips are moving. So this pious person thinks to himself, what level this youngster must be on. That how engrossed he is in his dua. And he's crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah wanted to teach this pious person a lesson. So Allah opened up the condition of this youngster's heart. Allah has the ability to reveal things to certain people at certain times. So Allah opens up the reality in front of this pious person. And he sees this youngster, although his chest is attached to the ghilaf of the Kaaba, And he's crying, all those tears are streaming down his cheeks. But his mind and heart is back home in his business. That I'm not there, I hope they're taking care of things. When I'm there, I know what's happening. The staff also are on guard. But now I'm not there, I hope everything's proceeding smoothly. I mustn't be running at a loss. So physically he was in the haram of Makkah Mukarramah, he's standing in front of the Kaaba. But where was his heart and mind? And then this pious person leaves the haram, he goes outside. He goes into the marketplace. And here he sees in one of the shops there's another youngster. And he's busy serving customers, taking, collecting money, giving change, showing them the different items that are for sale. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again opens the reality to this pious person. And he sees this youngster, even though he's involved in his business, but his heart and mind is fixed on the salah time. One ear is listening, when is azan going to be called out? I need to make it to the haram for my salah. So although physically he was not there, he was in his shop. What we'll say, he's in his dunya. He's busy making it. But his heart and mind is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever a person has to do, we have our duties, our responsibilities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking us to give it up. That come and sit in the masjid the whole day and make Allah, Allah, take my name, read Quran, stand up in salah, and that's how you must spend your entire life. No. We have our responsibilities, we have our duties. But do not allow shaitan to make us so immersed, so engrossed in it, that we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've got to live in this world, we've got to do what we have to do. But our mind and our heart is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the second thing shaitan will use, the second tool that shaitan will use, is that he will create fear within the heart of a person. We mentioned this before also, in the tafsir one of the nights. How shaitan will frighten a person, threaten a person with poverty. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran, over 70 times has promised to take care of the sustenance of insan. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Allah says there's no living creature in this world. Whether it's an insect, whether it's an ant, whether it's a fly, whether it's the birds flying in the sky, whether it's insan, jinnat, إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Except that Allah has taken it upon Himself to provide for that creation of His. Allah has already decided. Allah has already made the promise. نَحْنُ نَرُزُقُكُ. We will provide for you. نَحْنُ نَرُزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. You worried about your children, we'll provide for them also. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَاقُ. Verse after verse Allah is promising. I'll take care of it for you. I'll sustain you. I'll provide for you. Like one person came to an alim. So he said to him that I want to get married. And I'm worried how I'm going to provide for myself and my family. My father is saying he can't take care of me. So what am I going to do? I've got some business I'm doing, but I don't know if it'll be enough. So what a beautiful answer he gave to him. He says, when you were a small child, you could barely fend for yourself. If somebody had to attack you, you couldn't do anything. If somebody had to pick you up and take you away, you couldn't do anything. You could barely run also. Did Allah not feed you? Did Allah not clothe you? Did Allah not give you to drink? So when Allah took care of you when you had nothing, you didn't have the ability to protect yourself, to fend for yourself. Do you not think Allah can now provide for you? Now that you have gained that strength, you have the ability, you have the capability, Allah has opened up some avenue, some door for you. Do you think Allah is going to abandon you now? What makes you think you're in charge? So verse after verse, Allah is telling us, I'll provide for you. I'll take care of you. Yes, you may go through some turbulence. There may be some potholes. Our country, there's always potholes. There'll be some potholes along the journey. But Allah will do it for you. Allah will take care of you. And then shaitan makes one threat in Quran. As-shaytanu ya'idukum al-faqra. Shaitan promises you poverty. If you don't obey me, you don't do business how I say you must do it, you don't take interest, then you're going to starve. There won't be food on the table. You'll suffer from poverty. So 70 promises of Allah, one promise of shaitan, how insan gets taken aback by it. So shaitan will make a person scared. He'll frighten a person. That if you do not engross yourself in your dunya, then you're going to suffer from poverty. Whereas a person should think, what is the promise of Allah? وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah says, if you will develop the taqwa that we're speaking about, you will become conscious of Allah, mindful of Allah, then whatever difficult situation you are in, Allah will create the way out for you. No matter what situation, we mentioned last night also, Allah will make the impossible possible. Allah will make miracles happen. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ Allah will provide for that person from such avenues that he never imagined, he never fathomed. Where and where Allah sent it, but he never expected. And suddenly he gets a call, somebody has placed an order. And this is the Prophet, they prepared to pay the price. And where he thought, I'm not going to manage to pay the bills for the month, now he's come out with profit. So shaitan will threaten a person, he'll make a person afraid. Sometimes it's not poverty, he'll frighten a person physically. The person is coming to the masjid for Fajr Salah. He's always there, he's in the first saf. And now shaitan will find an opening. And now a message will come on the phone. That route that you take to the masjid, there was some hijacking took place. It's become very dangerous now. There's remote jamming taking place. So better you read your Fajr Salah at home, don't leave the house. And what a person will say, it's fard also to protect my life, to take care of myself. I can't put myself in danger. But yet we find those who have been affected themselves. Sometimes the person is a victim himself. But he's still coming to the masjid. He's still coming. He's still so-called putting himself in danger. He understands what he's getting. One person, he was kidnapped. 30 days he was away from home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns him to his family. So that night he's sitting with his wife. And she says to him that, why don't you read the Fajr Salah tomorrow at home? Don't leave the house. The alarm is on. The gate and door is locked. You'll be safer here. We can imagine the mental trauma. What does he say to her? Even if I have to go walking to the masjid. Allah was so kind to me, he sent me back. He kept me safe, he protected me. How can I not go to the masjid for salah? But a person is not even a victim. He hasn't even experienced that hijacking or that crime. He hasn't even seen it taking place. But how afraid he becomes. Shaitan will create that fear within the heart. That be afraid, be scared. You're going to comply with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something bad is going to happen to you. That poverty will come, that harm will come. So he'll make a person afraid. Become unmindful of Allah. Don't worry about Allah's command. But a person will remind himself again. مَنْ صَلَّ الصُّبْحَ فَهُوَ فِي ذِمَّةِ اللَّهِ Hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. That if I read my Fajr Salah with Jamaat in the masjid, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to, I'm already guaranteed in the protection of Allah. Nothing can change the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. I read my du'as in the morning for protection. Allah says, guaranteed, I will protect you. I will take care of you. I read my surah Yasin in the morning. My needs for the day are fulfilled already. Before I even open my shop, Allah says, fulfilled. Whatever you want, your financial needs, your physical needs, your spiritual needs, your emotional needs. People go for counseling, for therapy. Allah says, all of that I will take care of you. You just do what you have to do. What am I asking you to do? My directive, my command to you right now, whatever phase of your life you are in. That as a father right now, what does Allah want from me with regard to my children? As a grandfather, what does Allah want from me with regard to my grandchildren? As a husband, what does Allah want from me regarding my wife? As a neighbor, how should I be? As a businessman, what does Allah want from me right now? This is taqwa. That a person understands the commands of Allah. And then the third tool that shaitan will use is that he'll make a person procrastinate. That don't do it right now, you'll still have a chance. You'll have time to do it. Like how you ask the person, you're working so hard. You've barely even got time for your own hobbies. That which you take enjoyment in, you're working so hard. And you've got, Allah has given you. Why are you finishing yourself like this? He'll say, I've only got one child. When the second child comes, how will I afford it? You know how expensive the hospital fees are. Nappies are so expensive today. The formula for the child is so expensive. So although I have it right, what's going to happen in the future? He's afraid, he's worried. And then the children grow up, you tell him, why are you still finishing yourself? You still don't have time for yourself. What are you doing? He says, now my children have to go to school. And the Montessori alone, the fees are so much, so many thousand per term. I still have to make more. The children are out of school, they've studied, they've qualified, they're working. You're still finishing yourself, still working so hard. Now my grandchildren, I've got to set them up in life. So I'm buying a property here and a property there. I'll give one flat to my granddaughters, they'll be taken care of. My grandsons will have something to start off. It never stops. Why a person is afraid? Poverty mustn't come. I have enough Allah has given me. Here also an ajib point ulama explained. Is that every year we find the complaint that inflation, the price of things are rising. Petrol price is going up. Bread and milk alone costing so many thousands a month. And my salary, I'm only getting 5% increase every 3-4 years. Petrol price has gone up by so many percent. Groceries have gone up. How am I going to come out? How am I going to manage? But yet all of us are sitting here. All of us, after all those years, all those price increases, we all had sari this morning. We all had iftari after maghrib. We go home now after the program, there'll be desserts waiting for us. We all are wearing clothing. Our children are taken care of. They ate. They're sleeping at home. The rent has been paid. Allah is still sending. No matter how afraid a person will become, Allah will still take care. Allah will still do it for us. So shaitan will make a person afraid. And then he'll make a person procrastinate. That don't do good right now. We find sometimes in the month of Ramadan also. After the program, person will say it's time for tahajjud salah. But never mind, I'll go home. I'll rest. I'll wake up in the morning. I'll wake up a little bit early. I'll read my tahajjud. There's more reward at that time. And then we know the first alarm, second alarm. He wakes up, there's 10 minutes left for the time of sari to expire. The whole tahajjud is gone. Why shaitan made him wait? That there's a better time to do it. Don't do it right now. Do it when your concentration is there, when you're not so tired, and the children are gone to sleep. Now you just read 20 rakats of Taraweeh Salah. Don't tire yourself out. So for this, we have to set some sort of timetable, some sort of routine. Like how when it comes to our dunya, we know, we have a routine. The car has to be serviced at every so many months, so many kilometers. It has to be serviced. If it misses the service, we know what goes wrong after that. Then the different noises will start, and different things will start failing. So if I miss that service, how the person will take time out? He'll leave work also. But I have to check that car in, it has to be serviced. For our iman, what about the servicing of our iman? Our salah, our tilawat of Quran, our a'mal. We can imagine how many services we have missed over the years. Then when the noises will start coming, things start going wrong. I can't make it to the masjid on time. I'm struggling to open Quran. Now a person wants to know what's going wrong. Where did I fall short? But I was not mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all this time. So ulama say we just have to tweak our schedules a little bit. The person knows I leave home at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to make it to work. Just give yourself 10 minutes. 10 to 8 I'll sit down for my Surah Yasin. Although normally I'll be checking my messages on the phone. I'm just scrolling through. What's the news for the day? Give yourself the 10 minutes, read your Surah Yasin. The housewife is at home, she knows I'll start my cooking at this time. With your cooking, read the Durood Sharif also. Allah will put barakat in the food. She's worried that cake mustn't flop. So much of ingredients went into the husband, he's waiting for it. Read Durood Sharif, Allah will make it happen. Allah will put barakat, Allah will put the taste in it. So we just have to change our schedules a little bit. Allah has made it so easy for us. Now we have tasbih counters. While a person is driving, he can read his Durood Sharif. Ulama say, set this routine. I'm leaving home in the morning, I'm coming to the masjid. It may take me 3 or 4 minutes to drive to the masjid. Then I'll sit and I'll wait for the jamaat to start. In that time I can get my Surah Yasin done already. Without taking time out, I was going to drive to the masjid. If I don't know it, at least put the recording on in the car, read along with it. If I know Surah Yasin, I can read it in that time. I'm going back home, read my morning du'as. All the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are in there. After Maghrib Salah, I'm going home, read my Surah Waqi'ah. Read my Surah Mulk at night. Without even taking time out from our schedule. But our dunya will then revolve around our deen. We find how many a pious doctor also, when he's prescribing medicine, what he'll say to the patient? That this tablet, 3 times a day. After Fajr, after Zuhar, after Isha. So my dunya also, the treatment prescription also is revolving around deen. That after your salah, you'll take the tablet. Then we'll find our dunya also will become deen, will become ibadat. We may not make too many changes in our lives. We'll avoid guna and sin. But what level Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take a person to? The taqwa that will develop within his life and his heart. Why? Because he is mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these moments, respected brothers and elders. It's for us now to want it. Ulama say we have to have that desire, that burning desire in our heart. I want this taqwa. I want that connection, the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the youngster who wants to lose weight. He's got some motivation. There's some girl who's looking at him. He wants to lose weight. What and what won't he do? He's on holiday also, but he won't eat that what he's not supposed to eat. His mother will complain also that my son used to finish 5-6 rotis lunchtime. Now what he's eating? Keto bread. He's eating keto bread. He wants to lose weight. He's motivated. So to what extent? He'll wake up early in the morning and he'll go to the gym. I've got to spend my half an hour there. I know what I need to, what I need to achieve. So ulama say we have to want it. Within our hearts we have to have the desire that I want taqwa. I want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given us these nights and these days, respected brothers and elders. We are coming to the end of the month of Ramadan. But Allah's doors of mercy, Allah's doors of ni'mats, of bounties, of blessings are still wide open. If we haven't yet drawn from the treasures of Allah, now is the time. They say there's no time like the present. What desire is within our heart, what feelings are within our heart, the emotions that we experience, now we put our hands, raise our hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah to give us, as we said, Allah will make the impossible possible. Allah will do it for each and every one of us. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله إليك يرجع الأمر كله وعلانيته وسره اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين رب اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا راحم المساكين يا ذا القوة المتين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. Oh my most beloved Allah, most forgiving Allah, most kind Allah, we have raised our hands up tonight before you, O my Allah, confessing to our lives of guna and sin, O my Allah. O my Allah, years and years of our lives have come out in ghaflat and heedlessness, O my Allah. We didn't think of your commands, O my Allah. We broke all those prohibitions of yours, O my Allah. O my Allah, we continued wandering through our lives as though we're not going to stand before you one day, O my Allah. O my Allah, we didn't have our gaze on the akhirat, O my Allah. We were only worried about our dunya, about our upgrading and our updating and having the latest of things and the best of things. Oh my Allah, we were living a completely heedless life, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, you have given us tawfiq to come into your house tonight, my Allah. You have given us tawfiq to stand up and perform salah before you, my Allah. To place our foreheads down in sajda before you, oh my Allah. To raise our hands up and ask from you, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, this is a sign you want to give us, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we are asking you, we are begging from you. Give us something, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, forgive us for our lives of ghaflat and heedlessness, my Allah. Make us maaf for what we have done in the past, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, we are sorry for what we have done, my Allah. We will not break your command again, oh my Allah. We will try our best, oh my Allah, within our ability to abide by every law and command of yours, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, shaitan will try his best. Oh my Allah, we are asking you to protect us and help us, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, you know what goes through our minds and our hearts, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, you know how difficult it has become to give up guna and sin, oh my Allah. There are those gunas that are blocking our connection with you, oh my Allah. Those evil habits that we just cannot kick out of our lives, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we are asking through your qudrat and power, oh my Allah, you remove those evil habits from our lives, oh my Allah. Replace them with good habits, oh my Allah. Keep us in good company, oh my Allah. Give us those friends and that company that will take us towards good and your obedience, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, make your ita'at and ibadat easy for us, my Allah. Make salah pleasurable and enjoyable for us, my Allah. Make it easy for us to open Quran and read, oh my Allah.
Oh, may Allah make it easy for us to protect our gazes, our minds, our thoughts, oh, may Allah. Ya Allah, don't let us hurt others, oh, may Allah. Give us good akhlaq, oh, may Allah. All those attributes and qualities of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that we have heard about and we have learnt. Ya Allah, you give us tawfiq to bring it to within our lives, oh, may Allah. Save us from akhlaq radila and evil qualities in akhlaq, oh, may Allah. Oh, my beloved Allah, protect us from all harm, all difficulty, all challenges in this dunya, may Allah. Ya Allah, let us reach you through shukr rather than sabr, oh, may Allah. Continue to give us your bounties and blessings and ni'mats, oh, may Allah. Don't take us out of your bounties and favors, oh, may Allah. Oh, may Allah, we are extremely weak, oh, may Allah. Oh, may Allah, we cannot bear your tests, oh, may Allah. You have been so kind to us over the years, oh, may Allah. We have absolutely nothing to complain about. You have given us everything despite us using it against you, oh, may Allah. Ya Allah, but we have yaqeen and conviction that you will continue to give us, oh, may Allah. Ya Allah, if you will give us, it will cause no shortage in your treasures, oh, may Allah. Ya Allah, your forgiveness is unlimited, oh, may Allah. Your mercy is unlimited, may Allah. Your bounties are unlimited, oh, may Allah. Shower it upon us tonight, oh, may Allah. Make the decision for our hidayat and guidance, oh, may Allah. Oh, my Allah, if you will pull us towards you. Even if we don't want to come, may Allah. When you pull us towards you, no one can pull back, oh, may Allah. Ya Allah, give each and every one of us your closeness, oh, my Allah. Give us your muhabbat and love, oh, my Allah. Your recognition and ma'rifat, oh, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us hearts that will be mindful and conscious of you at all times, oh, my Allah. Especially when there is temptation and desire in front of us. Ya Allah, you give us the strength of iman to avoid and abstain from breaking your command, oh, my Allah. Oh, my beloved Allah, there are so many people who are sick who have requested du'as. Oh, my Allah, you grant them complete shifa, kamil, ajil, mustamir. Ya Allah, you give, Ya Allah, you create ease and contentment within their hearts and their homes and their families. Oh, my Allah. Oh, my Allah, all those who are in debt, you provide for them, Ya Allah, halal, rozi, that will allow them to pay off their debt in a short space of time, oh, my Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are in any other parashani and difficulty, you come to their rescue and assistance, oh, my Allah. Oh, may Allah protect our parents, those who have passed on from this world. Ya Allah, fill their kubur with noor, oh, my Allah. Elevate their status. Ya Allah, spread their graves as far as their eyes can see. Oh, may Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, raise them in the group of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Give them hisab without reckoning, entry into Jannah, oh, may Allah. Those of us whose parents are alive, you keep them with afiyat, sihat, salamat, izzat, oh, may Allah. Ya Allah, when the time comes for us to leave this world, make it easy for us, oh, may Allah. Ya Allah, don't let our lives of guna and sin catch up with us then, oh, may Allah. Ya Allah, what will we do, oh, may Allah? Ya Allah, before that, give us tawfiq of making sincere tawbah before you, oh, may Allah. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death find us breaking your command, oh, may Allah. What disgrace and humiliation will come to us, oh, may Allah. Ya Allah, let us leave this world in a condition that you are happy, oh, may Allah. Ya Allah, you become pleased with us, oh, may Allah. Ya Allah, if you are pleased, we do not need anything else, oh, my Allah. Ya Allah, all our amal, ibadat and efforts, accept it, oh, my Allah. Ya Allah, crown our actions with acceptance, oh, my Allah. Give us ikhlas and sincerity, oh, my Allah. Cleanse and purify our hearts, oh, my Allah. Oh, my Allah, give us all the good that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had asked for. All the evil he asked protection from, oh, my Allah, you protect us from it. Protect our families, our wives, our children, the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين InshaAllah, the next program will commence at 10:15. Brothers are requested to freshen up and try and be in the masjid before that, inshaAllah.